If you and your family are taking a trip to the Orlando area this year, your little ones deserve to stroll in style. Lugging a stroller from home can be an annoying and frustrating part of the first leg of your journey, and renting those hard plastic strollers from Disney theme parks can be both costly and uncomfortable for your kids. Well, I'm here to tell you about the solution to your child transport problems, and that's Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is a Disney-featured stroller and crib provider that does exactly what you're looking for at a great price. Not only is it less expensive than renting a stroller from the theme parks themselves, but these are padded luxury models with features like drink holders, canopies, storage baskets, and more. What's more, you keep this stroller with you for your entire trip, whereas park-rented strollers, you gotta return them before you leave the park that day. This is gonna make those late-night post-fireworks bus stop queues so much easier, and dad's shoulders are gonna thank you for it. So, how does it work? You just go to kingdomstrollers.com and make your selection on the stroller or crib that's right for your child. Just let the good folks over there know a great time for delivery and pickup and where you'll be staying. You can pick your stroller or crib up from the luggage stand at your resort and then drop them back off there at the end of your stay. So pack light, leave your stroller at home, and save up to a whopping 50% versus park price stroller rentals when you visit kingdomstrollers.com.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hiya folks, you're listening to Two Men in the Mouse, episode 109 on the White Dragon Podcast Network, recorded live on May the 12th, 2016. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Orlando universe beyond it. My name is Kevin Kessler, and I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Peter Mandel.
Kevin Kessler.
What's going on?
Nothing. What's up with you?
Nothing much. It's been busy all week. That's why we have a late episode, but I'll get into that in a minute. Folks, we are two lifelong Disney fanatics who have managed to keep the magic of Disney alive in our lives every day. And we want to share that magic with you. So pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones, and let's experience the magic together. Pete.
Kevin.
What's going on?
Nothing. What have you been so busy with?
We announced the release date for my novel, Russ and Andy.
Okay.
We announced that it's going to be releasing on May the 25th, with pre-orders opening up this Sunday the 15th, so 10 days before the release. So because of that, I have been busy approving, you know, proofs of formatting that's been going on, because you have to format it differently for like Amazon Kindle needs a different format than Barnes & Noble Nook, and so on and so forth. And obviously my big project this week has been the paperback version.
Okay.
Which big shout out to a friend of the show, Mikey Weisenhunt of Perfect Disney Trip, fame from his seat atop the Epcot ball.
Right.
Who designed the most awesome cover for this book. You've seen the cover.
I have. It is pretty great. You showed it to me.
Yeah, like the cover is like the one thing that everyone just universally is like, wow, that's awesome. So pretty much ordered my proofs for that today, which I have to just approve the proofs before we get underway. So, information on the pre-order is going to be on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/KevinJKesslerAuthor. And for anyone that is interested in the book or in how it is, or they want a little sample or a taste of it, at the end of today's episode, so that's after we say goodbye, after the whatever music plays at the end of it, after a great big beautiful tomorrow and all that jazz is over. I'm going to put in a 5-minute audio snippet, because I'm also recording my audiobook at the same time. So I'm going to put the prologue of the book at the end of this week's episode for you. If you want to listen to it, great. If not, then you could just stop when you normally stop listening to the show.
Now, did you get a celebrity to read the audiobook?
No, I read it.
Do you read it in your voice or someone else's voice?
I have like a voice, like a like a audiobook voice, and for each character that speaks, I vary up my voice a little bit.
Okay.
But you don't really get a good sense of that in the prologue because it's only from like one character's point of view.
All right, so what does the Kevin audiobook voice sound like?
You'll have to listen at the end of the show to find out, Pete.
Oh, teaser.
Yeah. All right, jumping into the show, we got the news this week brought to you, as always, by Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. And all the news, as always, is compiled from passholder.club, which you can follow and follow along with for all your Disney news all week long. Jamie and I are always reporting on all the latest and greatest Disney news of the week, along with SeaWorld, Universal, Busch. There was some Busch Gardens news today, like 64 people had to be evacuated off one of its rides.
Wow.
Yeah. But anyway, you can check that out at www.passholder.club. The Facebook group is facebook.com/passholderclub, or you can go to joinpassholder.club to join our Facebook discussion group. Okay, so worldwide news. Ready for this?
Yep.
The Walt Disney Company has released their quarter two earnings report. And believe it or not, Peter Mandel, attendance at Disney parks are down.
Interesting.
But revenue is up.
Why was that?
Because they raised prices.
So basically
they've increased their profits while addressing the key complaint that most guests have, is that it's too crowded.
Right.
So how do we feel about that? Like, their prices of people, I can't tell if it's evil or if it's brilliant.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm in the same boat.
But you know what? Like, somebody said on our Facebook group, which you can join by going to, I believe, to twomeninthemouse.club or just facebook.com/group/twomeninthemouse. But you can. Somebody was like, well, you know, Disney is a privilege, not a right. You know, it's a for-profit company, yada yada yada. But I do feel bad that they're pricing people out.
Okay.
Let me tell you something right now. If I didn't live here, there's no way I'd be going to Disney World. Just because,
yeah,
I feel like I would have been priced out, where, like, to the point where, like, I feel like I wouldn't have been able to afford to go.
No, I get it. Every trip I go on,
yeah,
it's like a miracle that somehow I pulled it off.
I always, like, really enjoy your tales of, like, how you're pulling off the trip this year.
Yeah, the behind the scenes. Listen, this year was even crazier than most.
Oh, this year was great, because up to like a week before you went, you were like, Kev, I don't know if I'm pulling this off.
Yeah, I mean, well, maybe like a week before I actually had to pay the money.
Right.
I'm not pretty sure this is not going to work out.
Right.
Because it's just hard. Listen, it's so expensive.
It is. Yeah, it's only getting more expensive as the years go on. Wait until we get to our Magic Kingdom news this week. Your hair's going to stand on end.
And listen, let me just say, I also always feel like you do get your money's worth. So I don't want to make it seem like,
you know what? And that's the thing. Like, on Once Upon a Time, all magic comes with a price. But
right. It's,
you know, like, so yes, it does come at a price. But, and, you know, I feel like we always have to walk this kind of fine line when we talk about the prices at Disney, because, yes, they are obscenely high, but you do get your money's worth out of it.
I can remember, like, when I first started going, and I would talk to people about Disney World, and, you know, I was still kind of a youngster, and they'd be like, I hate going there because, like, the food's so expensive. And I'm like, really? Like, I don't know. I never feel like I don't get my money's worth for food, but I'm also not buying, like, a bottle of water.
That's true.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I kind of, like, eat when we sit down and eat, and I don't feel like the restaurants are overpriced. I mean, maybe, listen, I also live next door to Manhattan, so maybe, you know, I'm just used to seeing...
Right.
Theater district prices, you know.
A bottle of water in Disney World is $3.50. Or no, I'm right. Sorry, a bottle of soda. A bottle of water is like $3. So yeah, like a gallon of gasoline is like $2. So
right.
When you think of it in terms of that, you're like, you know, why am I paying $2 for gasoline and $3 for water? I said it that way just to piss my girlfriend off. She gets mad whenever I, you know, jersey out the way I say water.
Water.
Yeah.
How's it supposed to be said?
Water.
Water.
But we say, because we're from Jersey, so every once in a while. It's the one word that I have not been able to fully train out of my voice for the Jersey accent. Because, like, we say water, like W-U-D-U-R, water. She calls me on it all the time, but.
You say water?
No, most New Jersey people say water.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say I don't say it like that.
You sometimes do.
Water?
Yeah.
I want a bottle of water. I don't know. Maybe
I hear. I hear you say it sometimes.
Now, is there water in your book? Because now when you're doing the audiobook, that might be a little...
You know what? There is water in the book, and I have to make sure that when I do the audiobook, I don't jersey out, so...
It'll take everyone right out of the book.
Yes, it will. We have a... It's like, oh, I'm in this mythical world of Terra. Wait a minute, I'm in Bayonne, New Jersey. So we have a multitude of Disney Springs news this week.
Okay.
Ready? So Disney Springs, the... They have electronic directory boards have sprouted up all over Disney Springs in the last couple days because the town center is going to be opening up May 15th. So basically Disney Springs is pretty much doubling in size, or at least the number of shops and eateries is doubling in size.
Right.
So they need directories like you'd have at a mall, and they have them, but they're electric. They're electronic, which I think is pretty cool.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah. Also, we have a slew of new openings coming up in Disney Springs. I mean, yes, you know, we're not going to go through everything, but like just the newly announced things. Because Town Center opens up on Sunday, and I'll be there. And we'll be posting, photos and video and stuff to the Passholder Club Facebook stuff, and I'll be posting some stuff in the Two Men Group as well. But BB Wolf's has opened for a soft opening, Sausage Company. The Wetzel's Pretzels and Haagen-Dazs have reopened at the Landing. They were closed during the construction. The Savannah Bee Company is opening soon. That's going to be opening on Sunday, May 15th. They have honey-based products.
Yeah, I saw that. That looks interesting.
It looks, yeah. Filthy Rich is a celebrity-inspired jewelry establishment. It's a kiosk over by T-Rex. That is opening on May the 15th as well. Savannah Bee is also over by Raglan Road. This is a big one. Morimoto Street Food, the quick service location for Morimoto Asia, is reopening. It was open during the holiday seasons, but then it closed during construction. Now it's reopening with a retooled menu. And on this retooled menu, you can walk up and you can buy the famous Morimoto Sticky Wings.
Oh, nice.
And Pete, when I ate at Morimoto...
I hope they give you a
When I ate at Morimoto Asia, these wings were the greatest thing on the menu. What we did when we ate there, I was with my aunt, my uncle, my cousin, and now his now fiance, and we just ordered a bunch of different plates for the table, and so we all got to eat different things. But I was once I tasted these ribs, I was like, I don't care about the whole carved duck. I just want this day, every day for the rest of my life. Also, STK Orlando, the new table service restaurant opening in Disney Springs, will open on May 25th. That will also feature rooftop dining, Peter Mandel.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, the only rooftop dining establishment in Disney Springs, so that's big news. In water park news, Slush Gusher and Summit Plummet have reopened over Blizzard Beach. Obviously, these have been famously plagued by issues over the last, several months. So it's good to see them open again.
You said you were going to go to that.
I want to go to Blizzard Beach one day this summer, when it gets really putridly hot.
Right.
Magic Kingdom news this week, sponsored by The Wisdom of Walt, the book written by college professor Jeffrey Barnes, which details how you can apply the lessons that Walt Disney used to create Disneyland to your own daily life, which you can order at thewisdomofwalt.com. There's a major redevelopment going on World Drive, which is the road that leads into the Magic Kingdom.
What are they doing?
Typically, this is the busiest road on the Disney Highway because everyone wants to drive into MK. Recent permits that have been filed have shown that they're putting a new flyover ramp going toward the resorts.
Okay.
Just bypassing the Magic Kingdom parking lot directly. And a flyover ramp coming from the resort area to pass the Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
So to and from the resorts, as someone that drives the Disney Highway pretty much every day, both going to the parks and Uber driving, that's pretty big news. They had already started to improve that area by adding a traffic light there, which was sorely, desperately needed.
Right.
It's they added a traffic light right when you go through the Magic Kingdom toll plaza, and it's off to the right where you can go, you can bear to your right and go to the Contemporary, or you can bear the right and turn right to go towards like where Fort Wilderness is and Golden Oak and Port Orleans. So. Okay. Okay, so they have announced the ticket prices for, and they're now on sale, for Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party and Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party this year.
Okay.
Okay, so the prices have, long story short, the prices have gone up a lot.
A lot? Oh, a lot. I wasn't ready for that.
Based on the time of year that you go, because now what they've done, Peter Mandel, is they've tiered the pricing system. So the closer you get to Halloween and Christmas, the more you're paying.
Huh. Okay. Let me hear it.
All right. So Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party.
My favorite.
Yep. Okay. Advanced purchase pricing. September 2nd, 8th, 11th, 13th, 16th, 18th, 20th, and 25th. Adults will be $72 and children will be $67.
Now, what was it last year?
The 68, I believe.
Okay.
Most common price was about like 74. So it was like, so this is the cheap side of this year.
Okay.
September 29th and 30th, adults will be 79 and children will be 7 to 4. And I should remind you, I believe children in Disney are, what is it? 3 to 9.
Yeah. Yep.
3 to 9. October 2nd and 6th, adults, $86.
Okay.
Children, 81. Okay. October 4th, 10th, 11th, 13th, 16th, 18th, 20th, 23rd, 25th, and 27th. Adults are $91 and children are $86.
Okay.
Okay.
I see where you're going with this.
October 31st, Halloween Day. Which actually, you know what? I believe that same day pricing. September 2nd, 8th, 11th, 13th, 16th, 18th, 20th, and 25th. Adults are $79 and children are $74. September 23rd, adults are $85 and children are $80. September 29th and 30th, adults are $88 and children are $83. This is all same day pricing. October 2nd, 4th, 6th, 7th, 10th, 11th, 13th, 14th, 16th, 18th, 20th, 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, 28th, and 30th. Adults are $95 and children are $90. I believe then for the 28th and the 30th, even in advance, it's still $95 for adults, $90 for kids.
Okay.
October 31st, adults are $105 and children are $100.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
I mean, so if I am going to Not So Scary this year, I'm going... in September, early September. For annual pass holders, annual pass discounts are not being offered for every night. There is no annual pass discount for anything after October 3rd.
Okay. So I can get that.
Annual pass holders on September 2nd, 8th, 11th, 13th, 16th, 18th, 20th, and 25th. Adults will be $67 and children will be $62. September 23rd, adults are $78, children are $73. September 29th and 30th, adults are 73, children are 68. In October 2nd and 3rd, adults are 80 and children are 75. Disney Vacation Club pricing. Again, Disney Vacation Club gets a little bit more leeway. They have reduced pricing, I believe, up through the 20th, I want to say. I could be wrong. I only see pricing up to the 6th, actually. So September 2nd, 8th, 11th, 13th, 16th, 18th, 20th, and 25th, adults are $67 and children are $62.
Okay.
September 23rd, adults are $78 and children are $73. September 29th and 30th, adults are $72 and children are $68. October 2nd and 6th, adults are $80 and children are $75. All right, Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. Okay, so in retrospect, in 2015, the cheapest ticket for Very Merry was $74, and the most expensive was $82 for advanced purchase tickets. All right, advanced purchase tickets, November 10th and 13th, adults are $86, children $81. So right off the bat, this is a lot more expensive than Not So Scary.
Yeah.
Which blows my mind, Peter Mandel.
I agree. But I think they think, you know, Halloween is not necessarily a time of year that people go there.
Mm.
October is not a month where they're like, oh, people pack it in October. Not like they do for the holidays. So
November 18th, 27th, 29th, adults are 92, children are 87. December 2nd, 4th, 6th, 8th, and 13th, adults are 91 and children are 86. Same day purchasing. November 7th, 8th, 10th, 11th, 13th, and 15th, adults are 91, children are 86. December 1st, adults are 91, children are 86. November 18th, 27th, and 29th, adults are 96, children 91. December 2nd, 4th, 6th, 8th, 9th, 11th, 13th, and 15th, adults are $96, children are 91. December 16th, 18th, and 22nd, adults are $99, and children are 94. So even at its most, but at, it's funny because at its cheapest, it's more expensive than Not So Scary, but...
Right.
It's still, at its most expensive, it's $6 cheaper than Not So Scary. Annual pass holder advance pricing. November 7th, 8th, 11th, and 15th, adults are 84, children 79. November 10th and 13th, adults are 79, and children are 74. And December 1st, adults are 84, children are 79, and then there's nothing after that. DVC, November 7th, 8th, 11th, and 15th, adults are $84, children are 79. December 1st, adults are 84, children are 79. November 10th and 13th, adults are 79 and children are 74. November 18th, 27th, and 29th, adults are $89 and children are 84. And December 6th, adults are $89 and children are 84. So, big increase in prices this year over in...
All right, so tell me what you're thinking about it.
I'm thinking I'm probably still going to go to Not So Scary.
Okay.
In early September, and I'm not going to go to Very Merry again.
It's weird, you know. I mean, especially, I mean, I'm not doing it this year, thank God, so I can kind of just,
you can
to worry about
observe
it.
Observe from afar. But,
and you know, again, you know, the difference between you and I is I'm buying four of those tickets.
Of course.
So now I'd be really curious to see. You know, what the attendance is like. Because if you could tell me that not as many people are going to the holiday parties now, yeah, maybe you can make the case that it is worth it. I mean, there's tons of special stuff there.
Right.
You got characters, you got, you know, snacks.
And there is our next bit of news, which is that there's a new Castle show for Very Merry.
Oh, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a second. But yeah, no.
Now, is that $100 a head? Cool, I don't know about that.
I don't know about
so,
that either.
I don't know. I'm really curious to see how this goes down this holiday season.
Agreed. But, you know, I think it's also part of that strategy we're talking about with, like, revenue is up, but attendance is down.
Right.
So the new Castle show for Very Merry is called Mickey's Most Merriest Celebration. It will feature, obviously, the Fab Five, but also Woody, Jessie, Peter Pan, Snow White, and many more. And will feature holiday music, both classic and contemporary. It is created by the same team that brought us the Hocus Pocus Villain Spectacular.
Okay.
That's so scary. We got some Epcot news. Remember a couple months ago we announced that the characters from Finding Dory will be joining Turtle Talk from Turtle Talk with Crush?
Yes.
That happened.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Did you see it?
I have not. I'm going to be seeing it hopefully this weekend sometime.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Okay, and Alberta Bound is the new band that has replaced Trade Nation in the Canada Pavilion.
Cool.
It's a five-piece band that plays traditional Canadian music, and I've heard that there are some members of the... This band used to fill in for Off Kilter a lot, I believe.
All right.
So, over at Disney's Hollywood Studios, that news this week is sponsored by thecookandwookie.com for all your recipe needs. It's thecookinwookie.com. Olaf is now greeting guests at Disney's Hollywood Studios.
I heard that was coming.
Yeah.
Only about 2 years too late.
Agreed.
I mean, I feel like
an Olaf meet and greet would have been huge 2 years ago.
I don't get it. And I would love for the explanation. I mean, we've talked about this weird character parameters that they've had before, mm-hmm. with, you know, Inside Out characters, But, you can't tell me it's not that they don't have Olaf, because they have, I saw Olaf in Disneyland, they have Olaf.
Right. How about the fact Why? That Nick Wilde and Judy Hopps are not anywhere except for the dance party, but Olaf now has, a meet and greet across from Star Tours. And it's across from Star Tours. Why don't you have, like, Star Wars Rebels characters there or something?
I know.
So, I don't know. I don't see the book. Mickey and Minnie have also moved locations. They're both going to be on Commissary Lane right now, what is called Mickey and Minnie's Red Carpet Dreams. They're not together, though. Mickey is still Sorcerer Mickey, and he's got a whole new set that actually looks like the Sorcerer's Apprentice, like inside a castle with like the well and stuff like that.
With Nicolas Cage?
Oh, no. No, not Alfred Molina either. Or that weird guy, that weird kid.
Oh, I thought that's what you were talking about.
No. Minnie is in full like movie star garb.
Okay.
And she's in like a glitz and glamour like Hollywood thing. Now Minnie was previously over outside of Disney Junior in her Mickey Mouse Clubhouse outfit. She has been replaced by Pluto.
Okay.
Who is also wearing his Mickey Mouse Clubhouse outfit, which is nothing. He's a dog. Little Universal news before we break for commercial. They have announced some new they've released the ride vehicle and announced some new elements for the Hulk coaster, which comes back this summer.
Okay, what's different?
The Incredible Hulk. Well, the ride vehicle is completely changed.
Okay.
New design and everything. The story of the ride is now different as well. Basically, you are basically in a government testing facility, and General Ross is like basically bombarding you with gamma and turning you into a Hulk. And then you take to the skies like with your Hulk powers.
Hmm.
There's like a whole new the entrance area is awesome because like it's a giant statue of the Hulk like holding up pieces of the track.
Oh, that's cool.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, I like that.
Anyone that is saying lately that Universal is going to sell the Marvel area back to Disney has got another thing coming, because Universal is sinking.
No way.
They're sinking bank into this Marvel area right now.
Why? Yeah. Why would they?
Yeah, I actually heard a rumor recently. This is unfounded, but just like rumors that have been going around the blogosphere, that they are seriously considering taking out anything X-Men and Fantastic Four related and replacing it all with Avengers stuff. Obviously, they can't do the Avengers movies, but they can do like comic book Avengers. Like I've heard, there's going to be some kind of 3D Gringotts style Avengers attraction there within the next few years.
See, I heard that they got, I don't know. When this all first went down, I heard that the way that the agreement is that Universal has what they have, and that's it. You won't see any new characters. You won't see any new rides.
I mean, they have the exclusive theme park rights to those characters.
Yeah, but I think Marvel had to sign off on any new rides, which at this point they're not gonna.
I think at this point, Disney understands that it's never going to be able to use Marvel east of the Mississippi, so Universal would still have to pay them for it.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, I there's never going to be a time where, especially not now. There's not going to be a time where Universal
as selfishly as I want a Marvel Land in Walt Disney World, it's never going to happen. And I feel like having a Marvel Land in Disneyland will be more of a draw for Disneyland.
Yeah, I mean, but even that, I mean, are they really ever going to do that? I don't know if Disneyland has the room for it.
They've been saying, they've been threatening it for a while. The rumors of this Guardians of the Galaxy overlay to Tower of Terror have been abounding lately.
Really?
Yeah. Did you see this, before we go to break, did you see this video of the Pirates of the Caribbean ride from Shanghai?
My kids have seen it. Because they tell me about it nonstop.
My jaw hit the floor. You know that I have never once considered going to Asia.
Really?
I mean, like Japan I'd like to go to, but like,
yeah.
Like China, like I've never wanted to go to China before in my life.
Right.
I want to go to Shanghai now because this and that Tron light cycle ride looks amazing.
Yeah, I know. They're so cool.
If I could land in the Chinese airport and have like a magical express that'll take me right to, because like I'm just, it's not that I don't like China, it's just that I'm very like nervous about being in a place where I can't A, speak the language, and B, read anything.
Right.
And that's why, like, I wouldn't want to, like, drive through China. Like, I would be, like, terrified. So I want Disney to make it very simple that I can get off the plane, get on, like, in Tokyo, Tokyo and Paris, you get on a train at the airport, and the train takes you to Disneyland.
Right.
So that's what I would want to do.
So why don't you do that?
This Pirates of the Caribbean, dude.
Just do it, Kevin.
When that skeleton turns into Captain Jack Sparrow, when you go under the water. But you know what? There is also something to say about that because, you know, you're always the one to be like, oh, it's just a bunch of movie screens. And this is very much just a bunch of movie screens, but what they do with it is unbelievable.
Well, I would like you to go there, and I'll tell you why, because I know the luck of Kevin Kessler. And as soon as you get back, they'll announce that they're building it in Disney World.
Yep.
So I want you to go for me.
The only thing that I would hate is that, like, all, like, the speaking on the rides are all in Mandarin Chinese.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, I feel like I wouldn't be, like, getting the full experience. But now, did you also hear what happened when they opened up the park to Chinese tourists?
No.
The words disaster were thrown around because I guess in different cultures, they're not as polite to their surroundings as we are here.
Okay.
So immaculately decorated, you know, plants and gardens trampled underfoot. People, how do I put this? Going to the bathroom on the ground.
Interesting.
Garbage everywhere, just thrown everywhere. Like, there are pictures of it. Of all of it. Like, I can't imagine having this beautiful... Because that park is beautiful, Peter Mandel.
Oh, I'm sure.
Gorgeous. And I can't imagine, like, trashing it.
No, I can't imagine going anywhere and acting like that. Yeah. But,
All right. But, okay, so that does it for the news this week. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And we'll be back with our e-ticket attraction of the week. So stay tuned. More Two Men and the Mouse coming at you right after this. You know, Pete, it's hard work planning a Disney vacation.
Of course.
Your whole family has to get going. You got to pack everything up. You got to figure out where you're eating. You got to figure out where you're staying. But you know what makes life so much easier and makes your trip planning a more fun experience?
Tell me. That sounds like something I need.
Absolutely. You need a travel agent.
Do we know one of those?
We absolutely do. We know our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse, folks.
We've both used him.
Yes, we have. Dave Weikert plans our Disney vacations all the time, and we would not recommend him if we didn't use his services ourselves. Dave started his Cranford-based business here in 2008, and in that time has been planning hundreds of Walt Disney World vacations. Dave plans every trip as if it were his own, and you will never find someone more passionate about Disney. Very easy to work with, and will do his best to make sure you're satisfied. Working with Dave, you're likely to pay less and get more. And what's better than that, Peter Mandel?
Tell me.
You never pay a charge for Dave's services. It is 100% free. Dave will plan your entire trip for no additional cost to you.
That sounds awesome.
Absolutely. Dave has helped over 875 families enjoy their Disney vacations. A graduate of the College of Disney Knowledge, Dave has visited every Disney World resort and has personally stayed at 12 Disney World resorts. He's dined also at every Disney restaurant. He's crazy about Disney food.
That is an accomplishment.
Absolutely. I wish I could say I did
that.
That's
like the snack challenge times 10.
Yep. Dave also gives you Disney dollars for land packages and shipboard credits for any Disney Cruise Line vacations you might be going. This can be used as cash at any Disney destination or store. Traveling with kids in your party, Dave will also provide you autograph books for all your kids.
You give them to us?
Absolutely. Your kids went down with Dave Weikert autograph books.
Of course.
Well, Disney autograph books supplied by Dave Weikert.
Depends on his name on it.
Dave simplifies your life by booking your complete vacation, including resort stay, airlines, Disney meal plans, and park passes. Also, checks daily for new discounts. When specials are announced, he immediately checks availability and rebooks your vacation at the lowest possible price. Dave can also book all your Disney dining and will do his best to get hard-to-book reservations like Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest. It's really, truly a no-brainer, folks. Take the stress out of your life. Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse. Hey, folks. Kev here with some news about how you, the listener, can help out your favorite podcast network. And by that, I mean the White Dragon Podcast Network. I hope I didn't need explaining. Are you an online shopper? Chances are the answer to that is yes. Well, if you're going to be doing any shopping on Amazon.com and would like a cost-free way to support your favorite free podcasts,
then head over to WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com and click on the Amazon banner at the top of the page. It takes you to the same Amazon page you've always gone to. You don't pay a penny extra, and the White Dragon Podcast Network gets a small percentage of what you buy. If you're looking to support the network in a more direct manner, you can go to WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com/sponsor and make a small monetary donation to the upkeep of the server, website, and network in general. No amount is too small, and all donations will be recognized on Two Men and the Mouse, Mouselanius, and Bat Squad Radio. Thank you so much. It's through the support of dedicated listeners like you that these shows remain on the air and free for everyone. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for your continued attention and for your support of the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Hi there, this is Monica Pinto from the Mouse in Our House podcast, inviting you to join me here every other Friday for all things Disney from my perspective. Let's face it, with our fast-paced lives in a crazy world, always running from one place to another, from hectic work days to family responsibilities, from household chores to those never-ending errands, it sometimes seems impossible to survive until your next Disney trip. How to turn that around? Easy, by keeping a little bit of that Disney magic in our everyday lives. So go ahead, sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee and a little something sweet, and let's chat Disney. Join me here on the White Dragon Podcast Network every other Friday, where we'll celebrate all the magic, all the fun, all the memories, and even some stuff that's not so magical. But don't worry, a little bit of pixie dust should take care of that. So until then, I hope you remember to keep the mouse in your house.
Do you like the Disney parks? I do too. So does my little sister. That's why we started a podcast about them. Hi, I'm Dimitri Ravanis. The name of our show is The Extra Magic Hour. You can hear new episodes each and every Thursday here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. You can also find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Now, in addition to telling you what we love about the parks and doling out some news and tips, we'll do something a little different. We'll tell you what we hate about the parks, where the mouse can improve, and we'll do some fighting. Well, not fighting. We call it friendly debate. Things that Disney fans have been debating and arguing about forever and ever. You'll hear them played out in real time between a brother and a sister every Thursday right here on the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Do you want to embrace the inner gourmet in your life? Do you tire of a life of hot dogs, ramen noodles, and Pop-Tarts? Do you long to wow your loved ones with homemade delicious meals and chuck that kid cuisine in the trash? Well, good thing we've got TheCookinWookie.com. The Cookin' Wookie is a food and recipe blog designed to walk you through recipes that will dazzle your dinner table. Tim Elbing is our Wookie host, and he will take you on a culinary journey that will make you and all of your dinner guests thankful at your next Life Day feast. So let the Wookie win your loyalty, folks, and head over to TheCookinWookie.com. That's TheCookinWookie.com. Fire up your oven, and may the forks be with you. Folks, we've talked a lot about Disney restaurants throughout the course of this show. And more so than that, we've talked a lot about the theming of Disney restaurants. Most recently, about a month back, we did an episode of our top 10 Disney restaurants based solely on the theming, with the promise that we would revisit this topic again to show you not just the theming, but the top 10 Disney restaurants based on the food, which obviously... There are two things that make up a wonderful restaurant experience, the theming and the food together. So we're happy to bring you part two of that discussion today, because this week for our e-ticket attraction of the week, Pete and I are talking about our top 10 Disney restaurants based on food. And the e-ticket attraction this week is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. For all of your stroller and crib rental needs that will deliver right to your Disney resort, check out kingdomstrollers.com. Okay, so this was actually a little bit harder than we thought.
It was a little bit.
Yeah.
I also think we should qualify in the sense that we really wanted to do restaurants we've eaten at.
Yes, exactly. Like Victoria and Albert's, I'm sure it's wonderful. It's just we've never eaten there.
So, right. And you know, and I say this with all of our top 10 lists. Sometimes I forget to say it. This is just our opinion. I get a lot of messages from people that are like, how could you guys were so wrong on your list? It's like, well, no, we're not wrong because it's an opinion. Like,
right.
You know, it's
but
our,
that's the reaction you want from people. You want people to feel spirited about.
Oh, yes.
Know,
I love
what
I
they thought.
I love the passion. But like right. I said, it's our personal opinion. If your opinion differs, we want to hear about it. So, you know, write to us in our Facebook discussion group, facebook.com/groups/2menandthemouse or 2menandthemouse.club. Okay, so you want to just jump right in or do you have anything else you want to preface this
with? Oh, no, I think everyone's ready for the list.
Okay. By the way, the other glaring omission, I've heard heard wonderful things about California Grill. Neither of us have ever eaten there before.
Me too. And Artist Point.
And Artist Point, yeah. Artist Point, I'm going to be eating at soon. My girlfriend is, like, clamoring for Artist Point, so... She wants to go to California Grill also, so... She pretty much wants to eat everywhere in Disney.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. That's when you know you found a winner. Because she wants to eat everywhere in Disney. So, okay, so number 10 on our list. We're going to Magic Kingdom for number 10. Number 10 is one of my favorite restaurants in all of Walt Disney World. I understand, Pete, I know it's not one that you love, but you appreciated it enough to give it number 10.
Right.
That is Liberty Tree Tavern.
Yep, solid food.
Very solid food. I really enjoy it. I think it's wholesome. It's hearty. You know, turkey, you've got pot roast, you've got ham. You got mac and cheese, which means you can make some pot roast mac and cheese on your own plate. Since it went down for that big refurb, it has been super popular. Like, I never remember having a hard time getting a Liberty Tree reservation before.
Interesting.
It's exploded in popularity recently. So much so that I, Peter Mandel, have a hard time getting a reservation for it. And I
hate
that.
That's crazy.
So if anyone out there has a reservation for it, they should just know that I deserve it more, and they should just give it to me.
I know you would never ask that of the people.
I just did, because I'm going to be obnoxious. okay, so number 9 is also in Magic Kingdom. Magic Kingdom is kind of capping off our list here. This is one that you had your reservations about, and I was like, do you give it 9? And you were like, okay, yeah, I can give it 9. And that is Be Our Guest.
Yeah, I mean, I like it a lot.
I do too.
To me, that's not like my go-to. Like, oh, I can't wait to eat the food. You know, maybe the atmosphere overwhelms me. Or
I love the food at Be Our Guest, though. Like,
I just feel like the menu is a little limited. But I mean, what they do have is good. You know,
I feel like their breakfast menu is very limited. But I think their quick service lunch and their table service dinner are spot on. And like, I've sampled different things. Like, I've had the strip steak from there is wonderful. But I got that like puff pastry with the seafood in it, and it was
that's what I got.
Oh, it was amazing. I love it.
I mean, I've gone there 4 times for dinner, and I've had that 3 times. So
what'd you have the other
time? It's great. Don't remember, actually. Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
But I like that. I could just eat 2 of them. That's my problem with that.
Yep. I think that it's a great way of like, it's French food, but it's like French food that I think is more suitable to like the typical American palate. Whereas like, you know, you take Skipper Canteen and you inject it with a bunch of, you know, like really crazy out there, like African and Asian food that like people that like your typical, because Magic Kingdom is your typical theme park crowd more so than any of the other parks. I feel like people come to Epcot and Animal Kingdom with like a sense of adventure with their like with,
food. With their palates.
Yes. Magic Kingdom, I feel like people want food like theme park food almost. That's why I feel like the Skipper Canteen menu was a little too adventurous for them. By the way, rumors abound that menu is going to be going under a drastic overhaul top to bottom.
Oh, really?
It's pretty universally despised.
Huh.
You know, most reviews that I've read of it have ranged from it's not terrible to it's terrible. Only one review I heard was like, this is 5-star dining, but they don't really ever say anything bad about anything. So, all right, moving along. Number 8, we're staying in the Magic Kingdom for this one. I didn't even realize this as we were compiling this list, Pete.
A lot of Magic Kingdom, man. I didn't notice that either.
A lot of Magic Kingdom. Crystal Palace is number 8, and Crystal Palace is number 8. Now, I've never had the breakfast, and Pete has never had the dinner, but
right.
together, I feel like we have a pretty well-rounded, you know, take on this. Crystal Palace, I believe, also is our only buffet on the menu, on the list.
Right. I think you're right.
So take us through the breakfast a little bit.
Listen, I think it's my go-to breakfast.
Yeah.
Buffet style, listen, has a lot of the same things that all the breakfasts have, but I feel like the omelet station is really solid,
That
puff French toast separates it from, I think, all the other breakfasts.
I'm dying to try that, dude.
It's so good.
I tried to make the breakfast lasagna once, and it didn't come out very well.
Right, I remember you saying that.
You know, I think I made the batter for, like, the top, like, the frosting wrong, so I think that was kind of it. But yeah, the dinner, I mean, I loved the dinner. It had really good, like, shredded pulled pork that wasn't like barbecue. It was like just seasoned. It was so good. Carving stations were spot on. It's just food that I could eat over and over and over again. I loved it. Plus the character experience. I mean, obviously, but we're not talking about the character experience because this is based on food and food alone.
Yeah. No, you're right. But the characters don't hurt.
They don't
make the food taste any better.
What's funny is the next one was almost kept off our list because you thought of it in terms of not food. And that is number 7, Narcoozie's over at the Grand Floridian, which I've never eaten at, but you vouched for.
I have. I've eaten there a couple times.
Now, why was it almost not on the list? Like, why did you almost overlook it?
You know, I don't always love traveling to resorts to get my food. So maybe that's kind of why I was like, maybe haven't even considered it in the last trip or two just because of the travel.
But traveling to a Magic Kingdom resort to get food.
Yeah,
if you're having a Magic Kingdom day, it's probably one of the easiest things to get to.
Yeah, you're right.
Because, you know, you got options.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of a bad word about the food. It was wonderful.
That's another one that I want to go to. I just haven't had the
Although I will say, the last time I ate there, we had a pretty big group. And we went straight from the MK, and I felt underdressed.
Hmm? Really?
I was wearing, like, an awesome T-shirt and shorts. And
as you do.
It's, you know, it tends to be a little fancy. In the crowd I was with, like, my wife always looks wonderful. And, you know, I was like, huh, like, I am, like, clearly, like, the big kid here. It's so weird. But didn't deter my meal at all.
Number 6 is actually one that I have eaten at and you have not, which is a rare thing. And that is number 6 for me from Disney Springs is Morimoto Asia, which I touched on a little bit earlier in the show. But everything about this restaurant is wonderful. But we're just talking about the food, so I won't talk about the beautiful open kitchen or the amazing, you know, crystal work and chandelier and lounge area. But like I said, we ordered so we got a bunch of different things. We got like a tuna pizza.
Okay.
Which was really good. We got the Morimoto sticky ribs, which were a revelation. You can get a whole carved duck.
Did you get that?
Yeah, we got that.
I actually really liked duck.
It was so good. Like, but like when you see the open kitchen, like you see they have whole ducks like hanging there in the kitchen, but like they're like whole ducks. Like they're like not like, like they bring this to you carved up. So it doesn't even even slightly resemble a duck anymore, which is good because that weirded me out a little bit.
I get that.
Yeah, I can eat a chicken, no problem. But when it comes to a duck, I have issues. I loved it. I could not say enough good things. Now here's the thing: a lot of people out there I know had like the restaurant I believe had a bad like a rocky start like when like as far as like service went.
A lot of restaurants do, though.
But I've heard a lot of different people say to me, like, oh, well, you know, I tried to go when it first opened, and, like, either they didn't serve me for an hour, or, you know, this, that, and the other thing. When I was there, there were no issues with the service. Like, our server was wonderful. He knew exactly what he was doing. He made great recommendations for us. So I highly, highly recommend this to anyone that's looking to dine in Disney Springs.
I would like to try it. I think it sounds good.
It's really good. It's an Iron Chef's restaurant. Like, what do you think it's not going to be good? Like, I mean, 100%. All right, so now we're in the top 5.
Okay. This is big.
Yep, number 5. We're going to Epcot for the first time in the list.
Makes sense.
Yep, and we're going to Chefs de France, which is one of your favorites.
I really like it. Now,
I've only eaten there once. It was at lunch, and I don't even really remember what I had. So this is kind of all you.
I've eaten there a bunch of times, and I will say this. I don't be scared off that it's like French food, because there's tons of stuff that people can get. My wife eats there, and she's, you know, fairly picky. So there's tons of great stuff. I had duck two ways this time, and it was awesome.
Duck two ways.
Duck two ways. It was confit, and they did like a roasted duck. It was pretty good.
You love the duck.
They did. I do like duck. I mean, I don't know what to say. In the past, they've switched the menu up, so they've had some pretty good like steaks and stuff.
While you were in there, did two cartoon birds fly in on a serape and go, have you seen a duck?
That did not happen.
Saw the duck and were like, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that would be Mexico.
Yeah, that'd be Mexico.
Right.
I've had duck in Mexico, too, actually. Who knew I liked duck that much?
Yeah, seriously.
Appetizer in Mexico, though.
What's going on with you? Think you know a guy.
I like Donald Duck. What can I say?
Yeah.
So, big fan. You know, not fancy. I had no qualms with wearing my Epcot Park gear that day. But at the same time, it's a nice sit-down. It's not, you know, it's a nice place.
It is. I did like the place. But, again, you know, like, just keeping it, like, I had some kind of sandwich, I think.
Okay.
When I was there. And I remember it being good. I don't remember it being anything earth-shattering. But, like, I do remember it being good.
Okay.
I always like the, this is completely, like, not the same thing, but I always really like whatever food they have, French food they have, either during Food and Wine or Flower and Garden. I always really like getting from that, like, France kiosk, like, right outside Chefs de France.
Right.
Like, they had this, like, really good beef during Food and Wine, and the escargot and the puff pastry was actually really good. It was very garlicky, and bestill my Italian heart, I love garlic. They have, like, an onion tart right now, and it's really, really good.
Well, that sounds good.
Yeah. Okay, so number four. So number four is going to be, once again, all you, because this is one that you've eaten at that I have not, and that is Jico.
Jico, yeah. I haven't done it in a long time, but I guess
is that DAC or DACL?
What?
DAC, Disney's Animal Kingdom, or DACL, Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge.
That's a pterodactyl.
Dactyl.
That's the lodge.
Okay, yeah, I thought so. I just wanted to make sure.
It's good. And again, you know, I think the convenience of getting there might be, you know, my problem with not going recently. But
right.
Food is top-notch. They have a fantastic wine menu.
And you enjoy African food?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of like a short rib, but it looked like it came out of like a dinosaur.
Oh, so like one of those like Fred Flintstone like plates of ribs?
Yes. I mean, like literally you could pick it up and you're like, let me take a picture with this because it looks crazy. It was pretty fantastic.
Did they put it on the side of your car and it flipped over?
No. That'd be cool.
So anything else besides the giant dinosaur ribs?
I'm trying to remember what else I had there. It's been a while, but I would like to go back there because the food was all top notch.
Okay. Very cool. Number three is, now we're going to clarify this, but it's in Disney's Animal Kingdom, but we're going to clarify it by saying that it's not the quick service location. It is the Yak and Yeti table service. Now,
yes.
This menu is just top notch. It looks amazing.
Yeah.
Again, you've been there. I have not.
Yeah. You know, and let me just say that the counter service is fine for what it is. I don't particularly love it. I kind of think everything is the same, but with a different sauce on it.
Pretty much. And I don't like how they just kind of pile everything in there. Like all the vegetables right. are on the bottom and yeah.
Right. But I will say that we ate there a couple trips ago. We, for some reason, had the full service plan, which I doubt I'll ever do ever again.
The deluxe plan?
Yeah, the deluxe plan. But we, like, I couldn't believe how good the food was. I wish I spent more time in Animal Kingdom, which now I'm gonna, that they're adding so much
to it. Girlfriend X and I were just looking at the menu for this the other day, and we were just like, wow, like, this really, really looks good. Like, we really, like, it's on our to-do list.
Yeah, it's solid. I mean, I would definitely do it. I feel like it's much more of a dinner place. I like the kind of, if I'm going to spend money, I kind of want to spend it on dinner. And typically I'm not in Animal Kingdom that late. But
right. Well, now you will be.
Now I will be.
Exactly. All right. So our number two and number one, I think, really could have gone either way.
Okay.
You know, it was kind of a toss up there. But number two, we're going to Disney's Polynesian Village Resort and we're going to Ohana for dinner.
Nice.
The dinner, not the breakfast.
Right. I love the breakfast.
So first of all, the shrimp, the beef, just everything they bring to you on those skewers, absolutely unbelievable. That bread pudding, what a phenomenal finish to your meal.
Agreed.
And don't make the mistake I made the first time and fill up on like the meat and not have room for the bread pudding.
I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem if you fill up on the bread that they bring you.
They do bring you good bread.
It's all about those skewers, let me tell you.
Oh. I love it when they bring it to your table side. They put that little tin like bowl down and then just like skewer it.
Yep.
Ugh, love it. Love it, love it. And you know what? And I obviously we're talking about just the food, but I do like the ambiance of Ohana as well. In that, you know, they do all that, like they teach you a little bit about Hawaii and things like that. Like,
yeah,
they have the thing where the kids can like march around. Do your kids typically get up and do that kind of stuff, or do they?
Absolutely not.
I didn't think so. Just based on them being your kids and knowing how you are, like I could not imagine like them dancing around Crystal Palace with Pooh Bear.
No, they, you know, and it's, I would love for them. I would love to go and do that with them. They don't have much interest. My kids are kind of painfully shy in Disney.
Okay.
Not necessarily if they're doing something that's like one-on-one, but you know, if you're going to go to Hoop Dee Doo and they're going to be like, come on stage, they're going to be like, nope.
But your son will do, Jedi training.
Yeah. Jedi training, school plays. He'll speak in front. Ethan's spoken in front of more people probably than I have, but when it comes to that kind of thing, I think he just wants to be relaxed.
You know, my new favorite thing to do in Hollywood Studios is to stand there and mock the kids doing Jedi training. It's that left shoulder, kid. The one that makes like, the L.
You like heckle him?
Silently in my head.
Oh, yeah. In your head. Okay.
Yeah. No, I wish I had the stones to Statler and Waldorf, the Jedi Training Academy. Oh, could you imagine? That wouldn't probably be good. That probably wouldn't be good. No, actually, typically I will heckle Nedris, the apprentice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because Nedris will be like, I've got this, master. And I'll be like, I don't see it. just speaking objectively here, Nedris, no.
Your skills with a lightsaber, not so much.
Not so much. Kylo Ren should have eviscerated you. Used to be Darth Maul, now it's Kylo Ren. Was it Darth Maul or Kylo Ren when you guys went?
Oh, it had to be Darth Maul, I think. Okay. I don't think they had switched over yet. You told me about that.
Well, yeah, because it's Kylo Ren, like, comes out at the end. The kids don't fight him, but, like, he's out there.
Right, right.
So, did Ethan didn't do it last time, you said, right?
He didn't, yeah. He just didn't really care too much. So I was like, I'm not going to make him do it.
Okay, so number one, we got one main event left, and as should come to no one's surprise, it's in Epcot. Epcot being, like, the place where you think, like, all the good restaurants are, only really has, I believe, two on our list here, which was Chefs de France, and now our number one, which is Le Cellier Steakhouse.
Yep.
I will point out to you, Peter Mandel, that I have an upcoming reservation for Le Cellier.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, coming up at the end of the month. So I'm very, very excited. So Le Cellier, for me, food-wise, I mean, you cannot beat that signature mushroom risotto filet.
Yeah, it's just awesome.
Tremendous.
You know, I didn't realize till we just went that you're really supposed to eat that risotto with the beef.
Oh yeah, you didn't do that?
No, I've always I'm the type of person at Thanksgiving who like my corn stays here.
Uh-huh.
And my Brussels sprouts stay here. Like I don't, you know, things don't tend to touch each other on my plate.
Okay. But I mean like that steak comes on top of the risotto.
Right, literally. But I'll, like, eat the – I guess in my head I always, like, ate the steak and had the risotto. But putting them together is, like, you know, it's a whole new world.
Now, have you ever had the poutine there?
No.
The poutine there is tremendous. And, folks, if you've never listened to Two Men in the Mouse before –
what does poutine have on it?
What?
What does poutine have on it?
Poutine is generally French fries with brown gravy and cheese curds. But they vary it up occasionally. And they have, like, gourmet style –
They vary it up? You mean – Do they ever leave the cheese off?
You can get it without cheese.
So it would just be like...
Just be gravy fries.
Gravy fries.
Yeah. Right. However, the ones at... the one at Le Cellier is a little bit different. They're like gourmet-style poutine. I'm actually pulling up the menu right now in order to, you know, assist you with learning a little bit more about the national food of our neighbor to the north, the true north, the Canada.
Okay.
I'm just vamping while I pull up the menu. Okay, so, like, you know, and here's the thing. Like, on the menu, they have, like, appetizers, entrees, enhancements, and poutine. Like, it's its own section of the menu.
Right.
So, Le Cellier signature poutine, Canadian cheddar, black truffles, and red wine, a red wine reduction sauce instead of brown gravy.
Okay, that sounds fancy.
Yep, that only runs you $10, and it's a lot too. Like Kate Smith from Mousselaneous, her and I like split that and couldn't finish it. Of course, we also each had a filet mignon. So, The bacon cheddar poutine is Canadian Black Diamond cheddar sauce and Noosk's Applewood smoked bacon. And the French onion poutine is Gruyere cheese, caramelized onions, and French onion gravy.
Hmm. Interesting.
It's some good stuff. Poutine is no joke, dude. And I'm just super duper excited they're doing the poutinery, the daily poutine over in Disney Springs now.
Yeah, that sounded good.
Bringing a little bit of Canada. I mean, like, you don't get a Mountie with a hockey stick riding a moose does not get much more Canadian than poutine.
All right. It's that big, huh?
Yeah. I love it. Actually, Storybook Julius is actually working, just did a whole big article for Passholder Club about poutine. And like what it means for Canada and, you know, Disney, coming to Disney. All right. So ready to hear what our friends around the world had to say real quick before we head out?
Let's do it.
All right. So I pulled our friends over at facebook.com/group/2menandthemouse. Asked them what is their favorite restaurant based solely on the food. Melissa Johnson says Yak and Yeti. Tim Elving from thecookandwookie.com says, tough choice between California Grill and Monsieur Paul, but California Grill will always have my heart. Kate Smith says the Brown Derby. I never knew that about her. Adam Blistein says Monsieur Paul, which I've never eaten at Monsieur Paul.
Me neither.
That's like the fancy French one.
It used to be Bistro de Paris.
It did,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, it used to be Bistro de Paris. Tim Hamlin says the Crystal Palace. Storybook Julius just said Epcot. Which I guess he means all of it. So Jamie, he was just clarifying I said a singular restaurant, not just like, don't like give a list, but nobody listened.
Right.
Jamie Doris says, having only been twice in 10 years and having never been to any of the 2-credit spots, I probably shouldn't have a say, but I'm going to put my hat in for La Hacienda. The food and drink is excellent. I do like La Hacienda does seem good. Hunter West says California Grill. The goat cheese ravioli blew my mind. I also love the kids' dessert sushi. Bernie Lawson says Ohana. Julie Highland says Marrakesh. Andrew Zonas says Jico. Anne Ravanos from the Extra Magic Hour says Sanaa. Katarina Dupree says Be Our Guest. Aaron Callahan says Ohana. Jonathan Monroe says Victoria and Albert's doesn't count, then the Crystal Palace breakfast. Storybook Julius says, no one else has said it yet, so I will. Le Cellier. Well, we did say it, Julius. You just hadn't heard it yet. He says, the pretzel bread alone, right? But the cheddar cheese soup, the mushroom risotto filet, medium rare, also good. Jim Swarthout says, California Grill. Gigi Pistone says, Brown Derby. Kay Pern says, I took a poll at home. My husband says, Boma Breakfast Buffet. My 20-year-old son says, anywhere there is food. And my 13-year-old picked Chefs de France, and I choose the Yorkshire County Fish Shop. Jamie from Passholder.club, who co-owns the site with me, said Liberty Tree Tavern and 50s Primetime Cafe. It's actually funny. The first time I met Jamie, we ate at 50s Primetime Cafe.
Nice.
Yeah. Stacey Gregory says California Grill, hands down, the Kobe Beef. Tiffany Walsh says Ohana, and Christina McSheffrey says the Ohana Breakfast. Liberty Tree Tavern is up for there for dinner, but I will say Le Cellier. So there you have it. That's what our friends around the world had to say this week.
All good choices.
All good choices, folks. Thank you all so much for, we always love when you guys contribute. So please keep it coming over at facebook.com/groups/2menandthemouse. All right. So that about does it this week, Pete. You got anything else?
No, good
right.
to go.
Yeah, so folks, stay tuned if you want to hear that snippet from my book, the prologue of my book Rocinante, which is due out in both paperback versions and ebook formats this month, the 25th of May. Pre-orders start on Sunday the 15th. And yeah, so if you want to listen to it, stick around. I will warn you guys, the prologue kind of takes place like at the end of the book, like it's a flash forward. So basically, we find our hero in not a very good situation, as you know what I'm talking about, like that kind of like flash forward where things all seem to be going wrong.
So you're telling everyone how the book ends?
Not necessarily. But it's just there's a little bit of like I just want to warn people there's a little bit of like violent imagery, not like anything too over the top, but like he's hurt basically, and we kind of like describe like how he's hurt. So just wanted to put that out there for you guys if you're going to be listening. So please, and if you like it, please, folks, you know, reach out to me. Let me know how you like it. And that's going to do it for Two Men and the Mouse this week, folks. This was a fun list to do, Pete. We always love to talk about food here on the show.
Yeah, it never gets old.
Folks, please check us out on Facebook. You can always find us at facebook.com/twomenandthemouse. We're on Twitter at Two Men and the Mouse. You can also find the White Dragon Podcast Network, facebook.com/WD Podcast Network, and on Twitter at White Dragon PN. If you love our good friend Peter Mandel, please check him out over at Rogue Comics in Cranford, New Jersey at 105 North Union Avenue, Cranford, New Jersey 07016, or roguecomics.com, where you can find a link to Pete's eBay store. If you're planning a trip to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise, Adventures by Disney, any Disney resort throughout the known world, or Aulani out in Hawaii, or Universal Studios here in Orlando, Florida, please check out our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. Also, folks, if you are taking a trip to Walt Disney World and you are in need of a stroller or crib, please check out our good friends over at KingdomStrollers.com. They'll deliver your stroller or crib right to your resort. If you want to apply the wisdom of Walt to your daily life, check out The Wisdom of Walt by Jeff Barnes. You can find that over at thewisdomofwalt.com in both ebook and paperback versions as well. So, and if you are looking for a dish that will dazzle your next dinner party, please check out the recipes over at thecookandwookie.com. That's thecookandwookie.com. For me, folks, once again, my novel Rossinetti comes out the 25th of May. Pre-orders go on sale the 15th. Please check out my Facebook author page for more information on that as it drops, which is facebook.com/KevinJKessler author. You can also go to authorkevinjkessler.com. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin J. Kessler, or join the new official Rossinanti Facebook fan group at facebook.com/groups/Rossinanti. Okay, so thank you so much for joining us again, folks, this and every week. Pete, any closing words?
Nope. Can't wait. I can't wait to listen to your book. I'm actually going to do that.
Oh, good. I'm glad. This will be the first time you've listened to Two Men in the Mouse since it first.
I'll just fast forward to the end.
Yeah, okay.
I know what I said.
Please, folks, keep the magic alive every day of your lives. We will see you next week on Two Men and the Mouse.
So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. Just a dream away.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors until the monorail stops completely and the doors open. If this concludes your visit, we hope you've had a wonderful time and will return home safely. Thank you for traveling with us.
Hey there, folks. Thanks for those of you that have stuck with me through the credits of the show. As promised, I'm going to be giving a... This is actually a world premiere... exclusive for Two Men and the Mouse listeners. We are showing the prologue, the audio sample prologue for my fantasy action adventure novel, Rossinanti. So that's going to play here in just 1 second. Thank you so much for those of you that stuck around and listened to it. It means a whole lot to me. I'd love to hear your feedback. Please reach out to me. You can reach out via my Facebook page, facebook.com/KevinJKesslerAuthor, or tweet me at Kevin J. Kessler. I'd love to hear what you guys thought. And once again, the novel pre-orders on May the 15th and releases in ebook and paperback formats on the 25th. So look for more information on that on my Facebook page, Twitter, and at authorkevinjkessler.com. So without any further ado, I am so insanely humbled and pleased to reveal to all of you the world premiere of this audiobook sampling of a project that for me has been 16 years in the making since I first got the idea for this book. These characters have existed in my head for the longest time, and it is my extreme honor to share them with you guys here right now. So here it is, the first ever world premiere of the prologue of Rossinanti.
Prologue. The pain seared through his faded consciousness, reminding him to breathe. He would have soon fallen to death's embrace had it not been for the maddening grip of agony. Still, however barely, he clung to life. It took considerable effort to open his heavy-lidded eyes, their weight suddenly monumental to bear in the wake of the thrashing he had endured. Through the haze of blood and dizziness, the boy, barely old enough to call himself a man, took in what remained of his surroundings. What had once been a beautiful crystalline cave now laid in fiery ruin. What had once been an enclosed structure, safeguarding its occupants against the powerful wind and snow that raged across the white landscape, now lay bare before the might of the elements. The cold did little to cool the angry scatter of burns that seared the boy's flesh, now already beginning to crack, ooze, and blacken. A cough ripped its way coarsely from his lungs as he noticed the slow birth of blood, born of the fresh lacerations on his extremities, as it wound red rivulets down his arms and legs. The morbid flow expanded into a puddle of red around him, staining the snow and ice beneath his back. He stared blankly at the frosted sky, resigned beneath the thickening blanket of snow falling upon him. He turned his head to the left and saw a tattered man clad in long black robes lying there, mutually prone to the stinging of the bitter wind. The boy's eyelids narrowed approvingly as he contemplated the still figure. It showed no signs of life. At least, he thought sluggishly, I managed to do something properly before things got out of hand. His ego stirred as he examined the lifeless body. It inspired him to move, but pain ripped through him with renewed intensity, and a gurgled howl of agony leaped from his throat. The pain seemed to be concentrated mostly in his right arm. He turned his head slowly to stare at the ruined appendage, now fallen listlessly at his side. He gazed at it with slight amusement. It now resembled that of an abused corkscrew rather than an arm, having snapped grossly at the elbow joint. Just beyond his outstretched hand laid a second form, that of a girl, clad in a blue dress that danced around the contrast of her silent body. While the lifelessness of the first body had filled him with accomplishment, this visage in blue startled his heart. How had he come to have failed her so? The boy desperately tried to extend his ruined arm toward his companion, with tears spilling from his eyes, turning blood and grime to mud on his cheeks. His initial flutter of valiance was now gone. How had it come to this? Then, as if in answer to his silent angst, a low growl filled the air like the rumble of shifting rubble. Tearing his eyes painfully from the girl, he managed to lift his head slightly, just enough to stare ahead at the vision of death that hovered before him. The creature was inconceivably massive. Every inch of its seemingly endless body, from tip to tail, was covered in red, rock-like scales. A pair of wings extended out to either side impressively. Through the glowing miasma of snow, the boy could still see the creature's most defining feature, a pair of flame-red eyes. They were eyes the boy had known all too well and for far too long. Eyes that haunted his waking and unconscious hours alike since childhood. Now, here he was, finally faced with them one more time. The last time. The beast reared its head back, its head whipping through the air. As familiar as it was, the boy could still scarcely believe what he was to face. An actual dragon. The most ancient of enemies. The original evil. They had been believed to be extinct since times only known by popular fable. The crimson monstrosity slowly opened its massive mouth, rows of razor-sharp white teeth glinting in luminescence as a red glow began to gather at the back of its throat. Now would come the fire. Now would come the end. He had hoped that should this moment ever come, he would face his death bravely, with no fear. However, the boy was petrified. A medley of stark emotions accompanied his growing dread. Anger, disbelief, denial. The purveying emotion, however, despite his defiant wish, was sheer terror. He gritted his teeth, determined not to allow that fear to play out in his face. Those murderous red orbs would not have the satisfaction of consuming his panic. Then, as the fiery glow flared from the dragon's massive maw, the boy heard his name, spoken so softly he was almost sure his desperate mind had imagined it. Val? His head snapped to the side, seeing his companion slowly starting to move. She was alive after all, and now they were going to die together. The dragon threw its head forward, filling the air with stifling humidity in the brief instant before the flames would burst forth to burn its victims to ash. Her fingers reached for him weakly. In this, his final moment, fear mocked him silently from the shadows of his mind, as it always had these many years. Everything dies, Valentine. No flame can burn forever.